This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be together in the house of God to worship. And it's my privilege to welcome you to this place this morning, especially if you are visiting with us. We hope that you feel warmly welcomed this morning. Part of our practice together as a congregation is to sign in. We have registration pads that hopefully are making their way down the rows and back again. And we would invite you to sign in this morning and notice the names of the others sitting on your row. And if there's a name you don't recognize, be sure and greet one another during and after the service this morning. If you are visiting with us, we would love for you to come to Reed Hall just after the service. It's just out this doorway. Some of our Andrew ministers will be there to welcome you and answer any questions you might have about our ministries. And also, during the Sunday School Hour, we have our West End 101 Sunday School class. This is a four-week class that we invite visitors and new members to attend. It's just down below this sanctuary in McWhorter Hall, and we'd love for you to come. It starts at 9:45. If you are a college student, we have a college lunch after the late service every Sunday, so we'd love for you to come back at noon and meet up with the other college students also in Reed Hall. Also in Reed Hall this morning, there's a table for you to sign up to volunteer for our habitat build. We have lots of folks who've already signed up. It's going to be a lot of fun, but there are plenty of slots still open, so hopefully you can participate in that great ministry. The tables are in Reed Hall for you to sign up. And finally, tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly Tezé service. This is a service of contemplation and prayer and singing, a wonderful quiet space for you to listen for God and connect with God at the beginning of your week. So we hope you can be here if you're able. This morning, we are returning to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be spending time in Matthew from now until Advent. We'll be reading a lot of Jesus' parables and Jesus' teachings. So as we gather for worship this morning, let us prepare to hear a parable of Jesus that we hope can shape and transform our lives. Let's worship together.
Thank you. human tongues, sing praise to God. O human souls, soar high with joy. Worship world, O world, shout, our God has bid us come. As we stand before God, let us think of the times we have not shown mercy and grace to those around us, as we pray in one voice, confessing our sin. It is never easy for us to confess, but deep down inside, we know that although we are graced, we have trouble showing grace to others. Forgiven, we are eager to judge and punish all who hurt us. Freed, we find ways to put restrictions on people we fear. Forgive us, servant God. Change us so that we will forgive before being forgiven. Help us be merciful before seeking mercy. Enter us, O God, so the world may know the way that leads to life through your love. God's hand of mercy is stretched out to us, making a way through all that threatens us to touch us with grace and hope. We stand before our God, singing praise to the one who turns our despair into joy and our fears into faith. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, in payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Did you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
so glad to see you bright and early this morning. I want to tell you a story about a little girl named Maria. She wasn't so little. She was 10 years old, and she got invited to a birthday party. And she was so surprised to get the invitation because it was from a girl in her class that Maria hadn't always been nice to. But she got this invitation to go to her birthday party. And when she got there, her friend opened the door and gave her a big hug and said, "Oh, Maria, I'm so glad you could come to my party." And when it came time to eat the birthday cake, the birthday girl gave Maria a really big piece, like that big. Can you imagine eating a piece of birthday cake that big? Yeah, probably. I can too. So she ate the whole thing and she was so full and she was so happy that this girl had been so nice to her. And as all the guests were leaving the party, each one of them got a big cupcake to take home. So when Maria got home, her little brother opened the door and he saw the cupcake and said, "Oh, Maria, can I have some of that cupcake?" Then she had a decision to make. Sometimes we don't want to share with our little brothers and little sisters, do we? But then she thought about how nice this birthday girl had been to her and what a big piece of cake she had been given. And she thought, if somebody can be that nice to me, I should be nice to my little brother. And so you know what? She gave him the whole cupcake. Let's pray. Dear God, you have loved us so much. You are so kind to us. Help us to love other people like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here and for listening, and you can go back to your seats. If you all will allow me, I'd like to change my sermon title for this morning. I have to pick a sermon title around about Tuesday, and by the time I go through Bible studies and work on the sermon and really put it together on Friday afternoon, I sometimes end up at a different place from where I thought my sermon was going to go. So if I had to give a different title this morning, the title of the sermon would be Back to Basics. This past week, David and I went to Parents' Night at our son's school, and we got to spend 7 minutes in each classroom, quickly meeting all of his teachers. And his math teacher was explaining to us how this first 9 weeks of class, they're going to be doing a lot of review to make sure they understand the basics of algebra. Because, he said, you can't build up trigonometry and calculus unless you understand the basics of algebra. Well, this morning's parable that Jesus teaches to his listeners is about one of those basic practices of the faith, one of the basics of our relationship with God and with others. Every week, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those," well, "forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not judge others, lest you yourself be judged." There's always this connection between how we treat others and how we are treated by God. And so this morning, Jesus offers us this parable about a man who received incredible grace from a king and then refused to offer that same grace to somebody else. After I read this parable for the first time again this week, I thought, I can't believe this guy. The kind of incredible, radical grace that he receives. I think we need to dig into the math, to the numbers in this parable, to realize how fully this man has been forgiven. So let me explain a little bit, in case you don't know, about first century numbers, first century money. Jesus said that there was a man who owed his king 10,000 talents. One talent is equal to 15 years' worth of wages. And the word 10,000 in the Greek is not literally 10,000, it's myriad. It was meant to be the largest number people could imagine. So this man owes his king an unimaginable amount of money. If we were to translate it into 21st century American English, we might say he owed his king a billion, trillion, gazillion dollars. The point that Jesus is making is that it's unpayable. There is no way this man can repay the debt that he owes his king. And so when the king summons him and says, "Pay me what you owe," he and the king both know it's not possible. And yet he gets down on his knees and he begs for patience. "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." And then the king does the unthinkable and unimaginable. Does something that no king would ever do in our world. He cancels the debt. He writes it off. He gives up a gazillion trillion dollars in order to show mercy to this one servant. It is astounding the grace that this man has received. And you would think that he would be changed by such grace. You would think that he would leave the king's chamber leaping for joy, the most generous man in all the village. You would think he would respond like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning when he wakes up and realizes he's still alive and he has a second chance. You know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning, right? He sends the boy to go buy the fattest turkey in the market and send it to the Cratchit family, whose oppression and persecution he has caused all of these years. Scrooge is made generous by the grace that he has received. But not this guy. He leaves the king's chamber and bumps into one of his comrades who owes him 100 denarii. Now, that's not insignificant. 1 denarius is a day's wage for a laborer, so it's 2.5 months worth of work, but it's nothing compared to a gazillion trillion dollars. And when the man says, "I can't pay you yet," uses the exact same words that this man used in front of the king, "Be patient with me and I will repay you," the man grabs him by the throat and refuses. And he throws him into prison. Why? What is his heart that hardened? Is he that selfish? How in the world could somebody receive such incredible grace in one moment and then be so hard-hearted and mean and cruel in the next moment? I don't know. And it's not explained in the parable. It could be that the man is simply a selfish narcissist. And he gets off the hook, yay for me, but never mind anybody else. He's going to continue to extract as much money as he can from everybody else because it's all about him. Maybe. But as I pondered this parable this week, there was a different thought that struck me. I wonder if this man somehow didn't really believe that his debt had been forgiven. If it was too much to believe that a king would act like that. If he was suspicious that one day the king would come back and say, "Oh, I changed my mind. I am holding you accountable. You owe me all that money." If that's true, if he really can't believe that he's been forgiven, then of course he's going to go out and try to get money from everybody who owes him. He's going to treat everybody the way he thinks the king will eventually act, the way everybody else in the world acts. He's going to keep acting by the same rules because he can't believe that the king would just change the rules like that. And that is where I see myself. And maybe you can see yourself too. I think sometimes it is really hard for us to believe and accept how completely beloved we are, how utterly and radically we are forgiven, that God would say to us, your debt is canceled. You don't owe me anything. You don't have to prove anything to me. You don't have to do anything. It's all made right between you and me. I think that is a basic belief of our faith, and yet it is so hard for us really to believe it in our bones. As we studied this parable together this week in Bible study, so much of our conversation was about forgiving others, as it should be, how hard it is sometimes to forgive other people and what work it takes for us to forgive others. But when we began to ask the question, what is it like to be forgiven? That was harder. That feels a lot more vulnerable. To admit that I need grace, to admit that I can't win God's favor by all of my good deeds. Sometimes we think about, I've got to forgive others, because that way God will be pleased with me. When the basic truth behind this parable is God is already pleased with us. And yet it's so hard for us to believe. Some of you know that the church I came from, Christ United Methodist Church, has a long-standing prison ministry. And as part of that ministry, I had the privilege regularly to go to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison and lead the worship service at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Our own Bill Miller and our own James Sewell also lead services every month at Riverbend. I'll never forget the first time I led that worship service. It's a communion service, and so we have the prayer of confession, and we prayed together the prayer of confession. And then I had the privilege of saying to those men, some of whom are serving multiple life sentences for crimes I can't even imagine, and I got to say to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And I was so moved that God would allow me to stand in that place and say those words to those men. But the liturgy doesn't stop there. Then they looked me in the eye and they said to me, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And it hit me again. I am in as deep need of forgiveness and grace as they are, and we've all received it. And all we do in the liturgy is just remind each other of that. That's what we do in church every Sunday. That's why we come again and again, to be reminded of the basics. And so my job and my privilege as one of your pastors is to stand up here and say to each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are beloved. You are unconditionally received and accepted by God. And your job is to remind me again and again, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. And our work together is to find a trillion gazillion ways through our words and through our actions to proclaim to all around us, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Your debt is paid. You do not owe God anything. All God wants is your love. So come on in. We're having a party to celebrate this radical grace that is so hard to believe and yet is real. One of the reasons we say a creed each week is to remind ourselves. That's part of what our liturgy does. It reminds us again and again of who God is and how God loves us. So I invite you to stand as you're able and let us together affirm our faith in this God of grace. Number 882. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. And you can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. Now, let us offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most holy Lord, giver of life and love, you bind all creation together. We give thanks for the ways that you connect us to all things seen and unseen. Help us remember our eternal bonds with you and with one another and with all of creation. Compassionate and forgiving God, you offer grace freely to us. We pray that we would be a people who live out of that grace. Help us be people that hold on to one another instead of people who hold on to grudges. Give us hearts that seek wholeness and healing for others instead of hearts hardened by greed or power. Teach us how to reconcile with our brothers and sisters rather than to perpetuate division and hatred. Redeem us and renew us. God of sustaining spirit, we give thanks that your presence fills this world. In the silence of prayer, we are aware of you. We are astounded by your ongoing work in our midst. Empower us to walk humbly with you as we seek justice and live mercifully. Drive out the fear that so often rules this world and give us courage and strength to follow where you lead us. Divine helper and healer, we pray for this community of faith. May it be a place that welcomes all who seek you. We pray for those who are struggling with sickness in body, mind, and spirit. May they find peace and comfort in the midst of their pain. We pray for one another and ourselves. Everlasting Lord, we need you this hour and every hour. We ask these things as we join our voices together to pray as Jesus Christ taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Good morning. My name is Susan Brown, and I'm a volunteer with Room in the Inn. Now, I know many, many of you have been involved with Room in the Inn over the years, and for that, we say thank you. But if you haven't been involved or you don't know about the program, we hope you will. As part of the approximately 200 religious groups and universities supporting Room in the Inn in Nashville, at West End, we host 12 homeless men every Wednesday night from November 1st through March 31st. We provide a place to sleep for the night, dinner, breakfast, and a sack lunch. The men can shower, wash clothes, and take a few items from our clothing closet. And most importantly, we provide a loving, welcoming evening for our homeless guests. Beginning next Sunday, September 24th, groups, families, and individuals can sign up to host a Wednesday evening. Be sure to look for those sign-up posters in Reed Hall. Started in 1988, Room in the Inn has been a very important ministry at West End for 29 years. For the past several years, Kay Gray and Buddy DeFord have served faithfully as coordinators for Room in the Inn. And we want to say thank you. You are irreplaceable. While they will continue to volunteer with Room in the Inn, they are ready to retire as coordinators. Kay and Buddy have graciously agreed to serve one more year to help others transition into leadership, but for this ministry to continue at West End past this year, we need new leadership. Coordinating Room in the Inn is a time commitment to help relieve some of the concentrated responsibility. And because they're irreplaceable, we are hoping to replace Kay and Buddy with a team of people. First, we need a Room in the Inn coordinator who will coordinate the volunteer schedules for hosts for each Wednesday night and send reminders with detailed instructions to all volunteers. Responsibilities include recruiting volunteer groups or individuals and writing newsletter articles. The position could easily be shared by two or three coordinators. We also need innkeepers, volunteers to be the point people for one Wednesday night each month, coordinating with the volunteers who are hosting for the evening. One innkeeper would be responsible for the first Wednesday of each month, another the second Wednesday, and so on. He or she would be there to troubleshoot if any problems arise. If you're a person who likes a finite job and no meetings, these are jobs that are perfect for you. And finally, as coordinator of the clothing closet, I want to remind everyone that we're also in constant need of men's warm clothing, particularly jeans, athletic wear, warm jackets, shoes, socks, gloves, hats, underwear. We provide these for all our guests. I've been a fourth and fifth grade Sunday school teacher for a lot of years, and every year we partner with the Christian Under Construction Sunday School class and host one Wednesday evening. We make the beds, we resist the great temptation to jump on the beds, we cook the meal, we make the lunches, and we serve the men. I wish each of you could hear the conversations these men have with our children and experience the love and appreciation they show them. The opportunity to serve is a blessing to every child and every adult involved in this ministry. So I encourage you to sign up starting next Wednesday, bring in some warm men's clothing, or consider one of the coordinating positions, which are greatly needed. And if you are interested, please contact Lisa Guak. And now, as a people to whom grace has been freely given, let us freely give our tithes and offerings to the glory of God.
We'd like to invite our Andrew ministers to come forward.
Friends, when the Apostle Andrew decided to follow Jesus, the first thing he did was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and lead him to Jesus. Later in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it was Andrew who identified the boy who shared his 5 loaves and 2 fish. In the spirit of the Apostle Andrew, our Andrew ministers serve in a ministry of hospitality and connection here at West End. And today we consecrate these members to the work of Andrew Ministry in the service of Jesus Christ.
Although all of us are called to welcome the stranger, Andrew ministers feel especially called to reach out to guests and new members to help them feel welcome and to connect them with opportunities for spiritual growth, service, care, and community. These are a representative of our Andrew ministers. We will also commission some at our 11 o'clock service, and there are a handful who couldn't be here this morning, but we are glad that you are here. Would you all kneel as you're able?
On behalf of this congregation, I commend you to this work of hospitality and connection as you live out the loving light of Christ. I pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor upon these persons who reaffirm their commitment to follow Christ and to serve in his name. Give them courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
As we have gathered in this hour of worship, I hope we have been reminded of the rock upon which we stand, the grace of God that claims us as beloved. And as we stand on that rock, may we go to share that love and unconditional grace with the world. And may that give us the peace of Christ.